This episode of The Instance is brought to you in part by Audible.com. With more than 100,000 titles, including periodicals, unabridged books, and so much more. For your free audiobook of your choice, go to audiblepodcast.com/wow.
Is it actually tape?
Yeah, I'm rolling. I got tape. Reel to reel. Come on now.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Where you quarter been? Inch, 2 inch? What are you talking
about? Depends on 24? How excited I am.
Just converted to DAT. It's all DAT now.
Oh, it's all DAT. Okay. Digital tape.
Digital tape. Oh, yeah. I mean, come on. Get into the 90s. What are you doing?
I like that warm tone, you know, when Terpster's voice is in my ears. I like it to be the warm tone.
That's the wax. Analog. That's the wax.
Oh, yeah. Maybe I should get that checked out. Okay.
You have, wait, do you like analog Terpster in your ear? Is that what you're saying?
Vinyl wax.
Yeah, Terpster's into vinyl and wax. You heard it here first, everybody.
When I'm not busy making faces at the humans, I'm listening to The Instance. Alliance Pigs.
You are listening to The Instance.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to The Instance. This is The Instance, the World of Warcraft podcast, so you don't have to, episode 332. It is Friday, July 19th, 2013. I'm Scott Johnson, and I'm joined today by none other than Mark the Terpster Turpin. Hello, Mark the Terpster Turpin.
None other than me.
None other than you.
Well, actually, but also there is another.
Is there? Is there another?
Well, yeah, there's Dills here.
Well, yeah, there's not another. There's not another Terpster, though. You're the only one.
Well, I don't know. Actually, sometimes I try and get the name and it's gone. Fantastic. So there's other ones out there.
Yeah.
So
a hot new social network pops up and you're like, I'm going to register Terpster.
I got to be Terpster like 3 or 48 or something like that. You know, you just have to add on numbers at the end. I don't know if you have to do it sequentially or not.
Well, as your visibility grows, I've learned this as well. I used to be able to get frog pants immediately anywhere I went, and now people snipe it before I can get to it. So it's just the way it goes. But Dills, you probably could put Z's on the end or Pala in front of it. Welcome to the show, Dills. What's going on?
Hello. I don't really have a problem finding Willy Dills. Dills by itself, though, that's a little bit of a trick.
Well, so there are pickle.
That's the tricky one.
Pickle lovers
you
have to compete.
There's
with
actually
those
people with the actual last name Dills. That is not my actual last name.
No,
you know, some people think it is.
No.
Would you give it up for them? I mean, the name that is. That's not like a.
I raised the roof. I do all sorts of things for. Yeah,
give it up. Give it up for Willie Dills Gregory.
The real Dills.
Yeah. I like Gregory. I like Gregory as a last name because it's got kind of an Arthurian legend kind of sound to it. Sir Gregory.
If you say my very full name, I sound it's somewhat, people say like regal. I don't know if it's really true. It's
Sir William Gregory.
Well, it's William Hampton Gregory.
Whoa.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. Hampton, anything. You could say Scott Hampton Johnson. You're right. That sounds common still.
Sir.
Yeah.
That immediately improved my opinion of your name. I think that's fantastic. Hampton. That's
Sir
awesome.
Sir William Hampton Gregory.
But you just say Hampton by itself, though, in the States.
Order of the First Knights. That'd be good.
Well, then when I was a kid, though, there was Tiny Toons was on, so I was Hampton the Pig when anybody found out about that.
Less
regal. Thankfully, regal. It seems to be gone from everybody's minds at this point. Nobody remembers Tiny Toons.
I totally love it, though, because your rap name is The Real Dills. That should be what you are. And you just spit in the truth. You're The Real Dills.
Put a Z on there, though. Put a Z
I start
there.
Every rap song with "She wants the D. I'm talking about the real Dills." And then I go off there.
Yeah.
Then something about hands in the air.
Johnson, Scott Johnson. That would be good as well.
I'm gonna start wearing a clock around my neck. I'm gonna say things like "the chicken tastes like wood." I got my rap career all figured out. I don't need your help.
If you think about it, my fake last name and both of your real last names could all be words that people use for penises.
The Gregory, the Johnson, and the Turpin.
And the Turpin. This is my Turpin.
Yep.
That's my Turpin.
Put your Turpin away, all right?
That's what it is. I get told to do that.
Fan-freaking-tastic. So welcome back, everybody. It's good to be back, all three of us together. Not since Nerdtacular has this happened, so it's a lovely thing. Dills is on the mend. I think that some of that thin Utah air kind of wore you out.
Utah air and that thin Utah beer. That 3.2 beer. Ooh. Yeah, I think they counteract each other, though, because it still felt like I wasn't drinking a lot of beer, but man, it was very effective.
Oh, it is. Yeah,
it's good. And the thing is, the problem is you go back home and you're still in the Utah mindset of like, yeah, I'll have 20 beers, please. Yes. And it doesn't have quite the same sort of happy ending, I should say.
Sure. Sure. Yeah. No, I had very long nights while I was there at Nerdtacular, and I enjoyed. I don't think anybody had as much fun as I had at Nerdtacular. Yeah. I'm just going to put that out there right now.
The word floating around the joint was that every time I talked to anybody, I'm like, hey, you seen Dills? Because I didn't get to see you very much, but somebody would say, oh, yeah, he was at the fair with the bear, and they'd tell me these long stories of incredible late night whatevers. And then somebody said, oh, we had this golf tournament all planned out for one of the days. And then I go, oh, that's cool. Where is he? He goes, I think he's dead. He's in his hotel room dead.
Well, I was supposed to just go play golf with some of my friends from Utah, from the MGA chapter there.
Right.
And I decided the best way to prepare for that was to stay up until 5:30 in the morning hanging out with everybody. And we were supposed to tee off at 10 a.m. Apparently Chad was trying to wake me up, and I just would not get out of bed. So I think I woke up at like 11:30 or something.
Yeah.
It's like, holy crap, I missed golf.
Oh, that's too bad.
So yeah, I've never done that before, but you know, Utah and that air, I'm blaming it on the air.
All right,
it's got was it a little bit like Home Alone? Did they did they forget you, or did you forget them? Well, like, how did that actually go down?
I just forgot that I was a human being. That was all just a period of time. That was a few hours of my life that basically doesn't exist.
Did you jump around on the bed and then put some shaving kind of stuff on?
Slap
some
aftershave.
Yeah, exactly. After and then go, that's really spicy.
Yep. And then I set a whole bunch of weird traps around the hotel.
The whole of the hotel. They're still still getting.
And are you in your 20s now? And you look like a meth dealer. Is that happening to you?
I am a meth dealer. Actually,
okay,
yeah,
great. Yeah. No offense.
Well, my younger brother is doing much better than.
Oh, good. Yeah, he seems to be all right. Seems to be okay. We have single handedly exposed your drunken nights in Utah and simultaneously besmirched the Culkin name.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm pretty impressed.
No, they're very they're intertwined if you think about it.
If
really.
You think about they're it real exactly. hard. Yep, I agree.
Yeah, definitely.
All right, well, let's talk about what we've been doing this week. So I had very little Blizzard time, although I did do some pet battles. Tried to raid on Wednesday. It wasn't happening because it was my birthday and things went weird that night and I couldn't go. So instead, I spent way too much, well, I don't know if I would say too much money, but too many monies, like individual small amounts of money on Steam sales. I don't know what the hell that crack is they do over there. And there were times where there's something would come up for sale, and I'm like, that's normally $49, and they're selling that for $8. And I must have it, and I would go to buy it, and then I would be Steam would say, whoa, you have this. You already have this.
Yeah, I know. What's that about? the amount of times that happened to me as well.
I want it again.
Exactly. I was seeing it. I go, oh, that looks great. Yeah, I've always fancied trying that one. Haven't yet.
Yeah.
And then you go to buy it. And it's like, oh, no, you already own this.
Yeah.
And you're like, ah, I think we've had this problem before then. It happens all the time.
It's weird.
It's horrid.
Yeah, it happened at least 3 different times. For the most part, I could eyeball it because there were games I already liked or whatever. But a couple of real gems in there. And it also helps that Steam Summer Sale is happening on the week of your birthday because fans send you codes. And so I got a lot of free cool stuff and some of that doubled up and I'll have to give them away again on a show or something. But for the most part, that was really nice. If you're listening and you were one of those people, huge thanks. Goes out to you. I've been paying a lot of attention to Blizzard at Comic-Con and what they're doing. They got a small booth there. If you're in San Diego right now and you haven't stopped by there, do. And make sure that you give the PR people a hard time because we love them. Also, quick note, real quick, Wayne, listener of the program, Wayne, is a fan who has been going through rough battle with cancer, like really hard fought. I think he's winning, but one of those stories you hear of horrible treatments and awful experiences, yet he has he's used the show as a way to kind of keep him sane through all of this, which makes us happy because we're glad that we can provide that. And I just want to wish him the best, give him a little shout out and say, Wayne. We're thinking about you, man. I hope
Master Wayne.
Hope
Master
everything, Wayne. Hope things get better and better. And it sounds like they are from the last I heard. So,
oh, that's good.
Yeah.
I just had a family member go through a whole battle with that. So I know where he's at. It's not fun. I mean, I don't personally know where he's at, but man, it's not a good time.
Well, even just observing it from, you know, somebody you know or live with or a relative, even if they're older or even downright elderly, it's just painful to watch, and I can't imagine what it's like to go through individually. So
I feel like the biggest thing you could do is just keep a positive attitude, because it seems like that helps with everything else that goes. You know, it's like the treatment itself is just such a pain in the butt, but your attitude can make it more. I don't know. It's weird. It's like that's really where you find the ability to overcome this kind of stuff is your own personal fortitude, I guess you could say.
Yeah.
And how you actually the whole situation. So
absolutely.
Hopefully we're helping you out with that, but I know that that's tough, man. Yes. So if
the podcast is helping, then honestly, that's about the best thing I think we
can do.
And
we should do this every day.
Yeah, we ought to do it. The instance daily. You guys ready? Let's do it. I think Terpster's got the bandwidth. He's got the time. Right?
Yeah.
You pull out of whatever you're doing there. You're not doing anything. You're just sitting around, just doing nothing.
Just do anything. I don't mind. Yeah, do whatever.
Speaking of which, what are you doing in you do anything in game this week? What's going on in your pre-5-4 life?
Yeah. So I got I've just been doing a lot of Dungeon Finder, really trying to get the old item level up for doing some Raid Finder on my Paladin. So that's basically it. Just hanging around, you know, press I, queue up. And then leave it a bit.
Sometimes
really,
that's the way to do it. Now, you mentioned that you were playing more with your sort of internal guilds, you know, office guys and stuff. Is that a thing happening? You're gearing up for that?
Still going, still good. Yeah. So yeah, it's good fun. And there's a lot of you know, I'm on a new server as well now. I'm over in the EU with these guys, and it's nice. It's interesting actually how different servers are, you know, from one to the other.
Yeah.
And it always kind of raises the question for me. Obviously, with the kind of virtual realms and the cross realm stuff going on, is if we were to kind of truly progress to like a lot of MMOs when they just have the single cluster, you know, what that would actually be like and how that would actually work. Mm. I don't know. I kind of think it could be good. I used to play on a server over here, Venture Co. Which is just a complete ghost town now.
Yeah.
And it was fantastic in some ways when leveling, because every rare spawn was still there. You know, you could just get them all. It was great. But then at the same time, you go to the auction house and you couldn't get anything. There was just nothing because there was no one there to get it.
Yeah.
Exactly. And it wasn't as fulfilling an experience as now, you know, on a big, you know, heavy pop, high pop server, where I start actually now seeing you know, lots of people everywhere, and it's a nice trade-off.
Sure.
It feels like an MMO, which is good.
I think it's a trade-off I'm willing to make, even though things get maybe a little crazy, or like you said, sometimes there's camping going on if you're leveling, or the solo experience is hurt a little bit by it. I'd rather have that than nobody around.
Than Ghost Town, Ghost Town feels bad.
Yeah. I mean, we've never really had that problem
No, Earthen Ring's been pretty populated for as long as I've been there.
8 years or something.
For an RP server.
No one RPs on. I mean, confession here. When we started the guild back in 2007, I want to say, I spent weeks, not to call her out or anything, but weeks with Veronica Belmont totally RPing our characters through that content. Like, full on, like...
Really?
Oh, yeah. Nothing sexy or anything like that. Aww, she's like my sister. That'd be weird.
Boo.
But it was... Boo.
She's not my sister.
But it was like... it was fun. I remember thinking, oh, this is what our peers like. This is the thing they like. Like, the... You know, it's easy to, for example, look at a bunch of... This came up on Twitter the other day. But you look at a bunch of people... And we have a lot of AI people into the whole... what is it? My Little Pony or My Pretty Pony? What's the thing everyone did? The whole brony thing. So I don't watch it, so don't give me a hard time. I have no idea. But my point is, I have learned that. So, you know, for example, those guys are all up to doing that. And people who don't see that or understand it, it's easy to stand back and go, what the hell? Well, you guys are weird. And I think our peers get the same kind of grief. But having experienced some of that, I kind of miss opportunities for that. Because it was fun to kind of D&D that business and come into a new zone and go, Oh, look, in, you know, yonder, whatever. There's a freaking Hark! Threat to the whatever. You know, I can't do it here, but.
Over yonder, be hogger.
Old school ones, do you?
Ye old hogger. Uh-huh. Well, it was all BC content.
Verily, this creature knows no goodness in its heart. We must slay it and wipe its foul taint from this land.
Indeed.
We're going to wipe its taint.
What?
No,
no, it's foul taint.
It's foul taint.
It's foul taint. Yeah, exactly. You know, that's the best thing about RP.
Always got to wipe foul taint, man.
Yeah, you got to be somebody who brings them out.
Right, totally. Uh-huh. But anyway, confessions aside, I kind of do miss that. But now, like people who are worried about joining our guild, like, oh, I don't RP. Well, neither do we. It's just a big open Laffy Taffy thing. Well, some people do, and they have, and if they want, they can. But it's not like, I mean, the way I've always looked at it is like this. If you want to RP on a server, do it with your friends and over vent or even just text chat. It's not like you're bugging everybody else with it. If anything, it's the other problem where other people are going, you know, you're going, ah, yonder foul taint, let's wipe it. And somebody else walks up and says, LFG, you know, starts just talking regular MMO talk, and that can throw them off. But the other way around, I mean, I just don't know how, I don't think there's such a thing as an RP server that is truly like, there's no rules being enforced. Blizzard doesn't do anything about it. You're just either, I remember the early days, they kind of did. So you could report somebody who was like talking smack in Orgrimmar and they might get talked to by a GM. But these days, RP has gone the way of the do it yourself. So.
Of the foul taint, yeah.
Indeed. Dills, what are you doing in game? What's going on in there?
Finally getting some play time after my Nerdtacular experience, but nothing but BGs really right now.
Yeah.
I should be doing what Terpster's doing though. I need to be getting ready because when 5.4 hits, I want to be kind of playing through that content. I want to be taking down the big guy.
So,
you know,
it's the one you want. Everything else is so interstitial. You can enjoy Throne of Thunder and all this other stuff, and it's
great.
Sure. But you don't have any real connection to that other than, oh, here's some new content being presented to us in a new way.
Well, I
want to kill Garrosh, you know? Like, that's the end game. I want to kill the dragon last expansion. I want to freaking take down the Lich King before that. Like, there's no question that the final bit of content is the one that people really care the most about. And thankfully, they've given us ways to kind of leapfrog if you weren't into the interstitial stuff.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, I know that like I can catch up pretty fast if I just put in a little time. So that will probably start to happen pretty soon. But right now, I'm just trying to get geared enough that PvP is the way it used to be for me, which is I felt always a little OP in PvP, mm-hmm. and I'm supposed to be because a hunter is still fairly good, but I'm not right now. So I'm trying to get back to that. Yeah. And also, confession. I picked up a really cheap version of the game WWE 13. I'm not a wrestling game fan necessarily. The last game I think I played that was a wrestling game was like Ultimate Wrestling or something, like way back in the day on like Nintendo.
Hold on, is this cartoony looking one or is this not? This is the straight up.
No, this is like pretty realistic looking, But this was, it was like $5 or something on Amazon and I was just buying some other stuff and it like popped up as suggested stuff to buy.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, okay, I haven't played a wrestling game.
I am easily led. Other people buy this, but I'm going to buy it as well. I don't want to not be like other people.
But I'm really like enjoying this game. This is really fun. It's not like the old days of a wrestling game or any game like that was a lot of button tapping, just mashing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And this one's more like timing. So it's basically like when you know you got time, you click it once, but you time it at the right time, basically.
Yeah.
And if you do that, you do good things. So
perhaps this prepares you for the big Garrosh fight. Who knows? The mechanics.
Maybe, I'm going to body slam the hell out of that guy.
I mean,
be great.
I can't wait till he's on 1% health, and all of a sudden someone sees me slowly take off my elbow pad as I throw it into the crowd, and I bounce off one rope, and I bounce off the next, and then I go and lay the smackdown with a people's elbow and just drop it right on his candy ass. Exactly.
In
all of the World of Warcraft. It would be brilliant. And afterwards, I'd say, Garrosh, do you know why you lost? And he'd start the talk, and I'd say, it doesn't matter why you lost. All you have to remember is that you were beaten by the Great One.
Yeah.
And gesture towards myself a lot.
Can you tell where the paladin is cooking?
I would have to talk about myself in the third person a lot. Yeah. But then again, I'm on an RP realm, so I'm allowed to.
I like it. Yeah, I like this whole plan. Here's the thing, though. I think we touched the nerve of Terpster. No, a lot of people don't know this. He used to do a bunch of like wrestling website things way back in the day in your
back
previous
in the day.
Life.
You make like Rob like Van Dam's website.
You make it sound like a weird sexual thing when you said it like that. Like you used to do like some weird like wrestling website things. It's like what? Was it just Terpster with another man grappling?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Wearing bikini bottoms and grappling.
I love wrestling. Wrestling's great.
It's funny like playing the game.
For men
yeah.
And
playing
women.
The game has made me start to watch wrestling again because I'm like, oh yeah, I remember these guys. Like, what's going on with these guys?
Because normally what they do is they bring them back because nostalgia. Yeah. It's just like, and the problem is that with all nostalgic things, it's a little bit like if you went back and played Vanilla WoW, is it'd be amazing for about 5 minutes, and then you get frustrated about like, oh, I can't do, oh, this isn't as good as ever.
He's really old, and now I feel like he's going to hurt himself. Yeah.
No, and it's a little bit like when you go back and play classic games, and everything now is HD and super, you know, brilliantly sexy, and then you load up an old game, and you're like, I remember this looking better. I remember this looking much better than this. This is horrible.
Yeah. I also, I'm also really excited to start The Last of Us because
I
finally downloaded it, but I'm scared to start because I've had stuff going on.
I want to be the last of us to play it.
Yeah, you probably will be.
I know that game is going to suck me in. From everything I've heard, it's going to be one of those things where I'm just going to stop doing everything else. And these kind of games always scare me like this. It takes me a while to with Skyrim, the same thing. It took me a while to go, all right, let's turn this bad boy on. Yep. You know, and then once it happened, I was like, okay.
You're all
I'm not
in. Yep. Well, this thing, I mean, at least this has got a starting and an end that is a relative finite amount of time. So you'll be able to play it, beat it, and then reflect on it.
You can play through the whole thing, it doesn't take you like weeks and weeks. You know, you can actually
go
ahead.
10 or 12 hour game or something like that or whatever it is. I'm not that far in, but I can tell you it's a pretty special game. It's like nothing I've played in a very long time, and it's interesting how tail end of this generation of consoles it is. But it's pretty fantastic. Those Naughty Dog guys know what the hell they're doing.
Yeah, the whole I actually had Walking Dead on my PC, but I didn't really like the interface on PC. But then I repurchased it on my iPad and played the hell out of it.
Really good on there.
Perfect for the iPad.
Yeah,
oh my god,
I agree.
Great on the iPad. So like I'm kind of still just finishing that. I'm kind of still in this like I want to kill more zombies.
Yeah.
So last was just like the next logical step for me. So I'm stoked.
It's really good. And the multiplayer is awesome. But I would just say this real quick about the summer video gaming and its relationship to WoW. This is the time of year when Blizzard knows this. This is the time of year when people go outside more. They do more stuff that isn't game related. And when they are playing games, they're playing some like big summer releases on other platforms. Like there's less WoW gaming going on the whole, I think. And so you would ask yourself, well, why do they save all this big stuff for fall and winter? And I would argue that's strategically timed. It's also part of just their cycle. But I think that's when people want to hunker down in their chair and get lost in Warcraft again. After, you know, all this weird stuff they played over the summer or all the stuff they went to do or all the vacations they took or whatever. It's a good time for those kind of games. And you're going to love that game. Holy crap, it's good.
Yeah. I also, real quick, though, I do want to give a shout-out to Bryce and Andrew, who I met at Nerdtacular because I hung out with those guys a lot. Not to mention Laura and Warren, Svet and James. I mean, there was, like, a ton of people that I hung out with a ton. And we're, you know, now friends on Facebook and other places and stuff. And these are all people I had not met before. And definitely I consider friends now. So looking forward to seeing you guys again next year.
Yeah. Nerdtacular.
That is what this is for, man.
Yeah, he is in there.
What's up?
That is what this thing is for. And so mission accomplished. All right.
Yes.
Let's dig deep into what's happening this week.
Big news. Of the week.
All right, let's get into it. By the way, big news of the week this week brought to you by our friends at typefrag.com, the best Ventrilo service you're ever likely to buy. Get it for whatever your guild size is, or your 10-man, your 25-man, whatever it is, you and your two buddies. Doesn't matter. They'll have a package for you. That's typefrag.com. Cosmetic armor pieces now available on Blizzard Store. These new helms are now available on the EU and US stores for €12 or €12, I guess, slash 15
about
bucks.
£10.
It's about £10. You guys and your your strong pound.
I know.
These items are cosmetic, can be used for transmog or any for any armor type, and will be mailed to you. To all your current and future characters on your account. These are the first of the upcoming new items in the store. It's the Jewel of the Fire Lord, which is all right looking, I think. It looks better animated than it does static in a screenshot.
Definitely.
Hood of Hungering Darkness, which looks pretty cool either way. And I think my favorite is the Crown of Eternal Winter.
Skeletor.
Yeah, that one's pretty badass. Yeah. Coming soon, the Seesaw and the Iron Hitching Post, both of which. So the Seesaw is just basically it's like the old loot card Seesaw thing. You pop it out and two people can sit on it. And
you throw it down and you seesaw.
Yeah, that's coming to the store. Also, the Iron Hitching Post, which is a little bit different and kind of cool. You're up to, I think it's up to 10 men. Maybe it's up to 25. 25.
Is it 25? 25, yeah.
They can all hitch up to there. And if they do, or they all, you know, basically click it.
When you click it,
their mounts become, they all become the skeleton. What's it called?
Iron skeleton horse thing. It's like it's a skeleton horse in armor sort of thing. It looks amazing.
And the idea is it's cosmetic, but the idea is kind of interesting because they've taken it a little bit step further than just purely cosmetic, because there's no real functionality that gives you an advantage. But what it does do is it lets you, and let's say a giant battleground full of friends, you guys are all in there as a team. You guys all use this hitching post, or strangers, whatever. And the idea is that, look at this huge horde of iron ghost skeletal horses coming over the hill to murder us all. Like, there's a psychological kind of visual thing going on there, which is kind of neat. But it does bring up this point. So here's some stuff for sale. They've already been hinting that this is going to start rolling out. We're going to see more and more things happening. The in-game store is probably a thing sooner than later, but these are things you can buy on the site now. Do we feel any better or worse about this now that there's actual stuff? Do we care once again? I mean, again, none of this is XP
Where
boosters.
Do you think it's going to end? Personally don't think that we've seen anything yet.
Yeah.
I think that this is the tip of the iceberg, and to be honest with you, I don't feel bad about it. These helms are kind of cool. I personally am not going to buy any of these ones. They're not cool enough for me, and I prefer to not have a helm displayed because I feel like my character face is what I want to show.
Right.
But then, to be honest with you, give me kind of cool-looking pauldrons, give me a jetpack as a flying mount, give me, anything and everything, really. And then I think we can talk.
Yeah.
Your people can talk to my people and I'll arrange for the money to be left in unmarked bills in a place that is suitable.
Dills, you're
it's good.
Yeah. Well, Dills, you're a lifelong, I don't want to buy extra stuff in the store kind of guy. How do all these sound to you?
Here's my thinking on this is if these items, like actual gear items, are items that are not available in the game, otherwise, I'm fine with it. But if they start selling stuff that I've bought or I've earned previously, I'm not gonna be happy about that. So I don't know. It gear to me, and plus a helm for $15 is just like, what the crap is going on here? That just seems like a ridiculous price point to me.
It's not much of a microtransaction, is it?
No.
Expensive. They are definitely expensive. Yeah. I mean, they say that it's for all your characters, past and present, and you can kind of forgive them a little bit for that, I think, in terms of how much they're asking for.
Well, what's a fair price then, Terpster? What would you pay? How much would you pay for the Jewel of the Fire Lord if you were to just say, all right, well, I think it's worth this? What would that
be? I would say $5.
$5 is like the most, I think.
Exactly. Yeah. I feel it's kind of, three times as expensive as it should be for a helm as well.
Yeah.
Because equally, the idea, I think, would be for them to sell more of the armor set. And if they sold like a complete armor set, then I could understand there being some sort of like, buy all five pieces and it only cost you $20 as opposed to $25 as if you bought them separately.
Right.
But I don't know. I personally wouldn't want to pay that much for a single item, no matter how cool, I guess, when it comes down to armor.
Yeah.
See, like a mount for, like, to me, the mounts at 25 is too much too. I think the mounts should be about 15. I think something like this should be, because if you're thinking about it in terms of worth compared to other things that also cost $15. It's like I can buy full games for $15. I could play an entire really good game that's maybe a couple years old but I could buy an entire game, or I can buy one helm to put on my
or
character.
Or you could play a free-to-play MMO that has that, and $15 would give you probably months of things to add onto that thing to do. That's absolutely true of a bunch of these things that I that I play and use.
Or in San Francisco, I can buy two cups of coffee. You know, like it's. But you know, I mean, it's you gotta like when you look at it in the terms of like real world value of $15, and then it's easy to like tack on a price like $15 and then go, yeah, that's fine for this because it's whatever, it's a really cool looking helm. But you know, you start comparing it to other things that cost $15, it's like, wow, this is that is too much money.
Yeah. So, I'm with Terpstra's original comment, which is I'm okay with all this, but I'm not. I think the prices are just too high. This to me, this is a simple issue of these costs are too high, and they'll probably get plenty of, I mean, they're okay, so their production pipeline for creating content like this is already established, easy, and not a problem. So it's not hard for them to pump out three helms in a freaking afternoon because artists and everybody, you know, converting stuff to playable polygonal vertices in the game, this is easy for them. This is not hard. So their investment in each of these helms is minuscule compared to the profit. I'll bet if I was to just if there was a way to calculate cost versus profit,
the profit's pure. There is no cost involved of they're going to make them anyway.
Right.
It's a case of, oh, these cool designs that you've come up with are actually cool enough.
Exactly.
That we can actually charge people for these rather than give them away free.
Yeah.
I don't think that there's, too, you know.
I think some of these too almost look like maybe they didn't fit with any actual armor sets in in a real way. But they were really awesome, and so they decided, well, let's tool these up a little bit more, make them really awesome, and then they make sense here.
Yeah.
It's almost like, like you were saying, like there's probably some artist who's got hundreds of helm designs just sitting there that he's been working on that just got tossed for whatever reason. So you can just go back through and be like, well, this is really cool. Like, why don't you just really like make this one extra special, and we can charge $15 for it.
Sure.
You're right. It's like they can churn these out. Left and right.
Yeah, they probably already got a bunch of them done that were just not used for whatever reason either. So they've got backup. They've got it takes 2 minutes to do it. If there's any discernible cost, it's in the pennies, I would guess, in terms of each of these, if you were able to calculate that. So I don't know, man. Well,
it's whatever you were paying the artist that you were paying anyway,
right?
Basically.
So if this is the future of their microtransaction system, I don't think it's the right direction cost-wise.
No.
But I also don't think it actually is. This is what I think this is. This is them no longer just dipping a little toe in the water to see how people react to a mount here and a pet there. I think this is them going, okay, that's proved to be okay. The fire has burned itself out enough on that controversially. We're just going to full on have items in the store, and they're going to cost around this amount of money. Go for it. Now let's now move on to next stage. And next stage is true microtransaction in-game store that either uses some kind of weird space point system or you buy, you know, whatever they're going to be called.
Yeah, because, I mean, if you look at it in regards to, you know, with the Asian leveling increase, you know, proposed, those potions, if they were to obviously implement an in-game store, for us, if they just implement it and they have all of these existing items in there, it makes it very palatable. If they then, you know, just happen to, after a patch, add in some of the kind of more controversial items, so they don't open with leveling increases or buyable characters or anything like that. If they start off with the same assortment they have now, just in game, it's a baby step that a lot of people won't really pick up on as much. It's the right way to launch it in terms of, you know, little tiny little incremental sort of, okay, cool, you like that, that's fine, let's try and find the line, let's see if there is a line, maybe we can do whatever we want, and it doesn't really matter. But you know, I think it's better to do it incrementally than just go straight for it.
Yeah, and I think most players age 20 and older are going to understand this, but I and I'm not trying to be an ageist here and say that everyone younger than that is immature and going to freak out about this, but I think it's important to note this. There's going to be a lot of screaming, there already is, about this being implemented. And WoW's jumped the shark and blah, 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 because they're selling these things or doing it more in earnest. And I would just remind everybody that this is not nobody's being forced to do anything, but that's important to remember. But more importantly than that, you guys determine the economy of this. So if Blizzard launches these and they don't sell because they're too high priced, those prices will drop. It's not like they're not going to have a lot of motivation, I think, because I think people are going to be willing to pay these prices. They've shown they already have been. But if we truly as players don't want to pay this for something that we think is cool, then the prices will get lower. I mean, that is how economy of scale works, and mm-hmm. demand and supply and all that. Now, these are virtual goods, and that makes it slightly weird about supply, but it's still the same idea. If you don't value it at 15, but you do at 5, and they don't see him sell it at anything lower than or anything higher than $5, you'll eventually be able to buy this damn stuff for $5.
Yeah, I mean, the supply in this case is the demand. I mean, it's just there's just one factor to look at here. But right. I mean, if you think about it, like there's been so what was the Spectral Tiger card sold for like $2,000 at one point?
Yeah, back in the day.
You know, I mean, there's reason for Blizzard to believe that cool in-game stuff can make a lot of money, and you know, there's no reason for them not to start it out at something like this, because people will buy it. And then what they can do is, as they put new stuff out, the new stuff is always $15 and the old stuff drops in price. And, you know, I mean, that's going to work as a model.
Yeah, start high, move lower. That's how it works. Mm.
You know? And I'd like it if it was, you know, maybe someone turns to me and says, like, oh, you've got that helm that's now only $5. Oh, that's out of season. That's not in fashion anymore. You know, I can see that. Why not follow that model?
Yeah.
Why not? No, I mean, it's you know, it's to me, like, I'm not going to buy these things for $15. People will. I understand that, and Blizzard also understands that. So I can't really fault Blizzard for this.
Yeah.
I'm not especially mad about them having a Blizzard store. Some people are furious, but yeah. I'm not really. I mean, I understand that the atmosphere has changed. You know, it's not the way it was 6 years ago, and this makes a lot more sense now than it ever did. So
yeah.
People can get upset, but the only thing they can really do is not play the game if it upsets them that much.
Yeah. And, or not pay those prices and play the game that's already still there. Right. Just don't buy the item.
And when someone walks by, just get so furious when they have that helm on. Oh,
freaking helmet. Yell at them in game. It'll be great. Now, here's somebody
we've already gone down this road with the mounts and stuff. Yeah, this to me is just the next logical step.
It absolutely is. Thorin in the chat room says something interesting, and I actually think it's a good idea. So Valve has had crazy weird success with hat creation for
TF2. Yeah.
And it's the weirdest thing how that hat thing has just taken off and been like this crazy moneymaker for both them and those making hats. Mm. And it sounds crazy even just saying the words. So he says they need to add an editor in for crafters to design/make their own unique gear and sell it on the auction house. Obviously, this would all be cosmetic or whatever. That's a very interesting idea, because Blizzard being able to take a cut of that and then players getting to be really creative and come up with amazing ideas and make some money themselves is already a proven model. It works for them. Why not?
And it's also something they wanted to do with StarCraft, StarCraft 2 with the map maker, and they wanted people to make cool mods and mini games and stuff like that, mm-hmm. put them in the map editor, you know, the galaxy creator, what they called it in the end, have their Blizzard marketplace and let people sell it.
Yep.
And I think it's something they'd be open to when you're playing with assets they've already created.
Sure.
What you've got to remember is the most iconic thing about World of Warcraft is the art style. And it's the reason we're still able to play it 10 years down the line and it still look okay, is because of the direction they take. I think if they opened it up to other people creating assets, is they would have to have such a strict and strident kind of approval system that I don't think you'd see any benefit really past like potentially some people coming up with some cool ideas, which they then have to remake or something to that effect. I don't think for Blizzard and this game that would be necessarily the right way to go. Mm. I mean, obviously TF2's got a very iconic art style and people, you know, meet those criteria and make stuff that looks great in that game.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I think for WoW, it kind of just feels like potentially a bit too far for Blizzard. If I was able to say, for example, retexture stuff using a set color palette or something like that, then I think they'd be well up for, you know, improving like the dye system to be more like some other MMOs out there. Mm-hmm. So I can, you know, change the hues on armors and make them mm-hmm. different in different ways.
Or you could enlarge like horns on a helm or spikes on a pauldron, or, you know, you could tweak around with some of the geometry on items and things like that. I mean, I could see them. I think you make a really good point here. Unless they want to have an entire division of Blizzard dedicated to moderation and curation of these items
and
on
maybe,
the store, then
maybe, you know, with the kind of money it could make, you know, if Blizzard were to take enough of a cut, they could actually do that, still make a load of money, and provide a cool new thing for their player base. But I don't think the demand is there, but Blizzard would know.
Yeah, they would know, and maybe this isn't the works for all we know. I mean, the map store thing, I don't think ever really worked out the way they wanted, because they never gave the tools / storefront to make it happen. Like, I don't know if they've just didn't...
You still can't, I don't believe, buy stuff.
No, it's all freaking free mods. I mean, there's ways to support people on their websites and all that kind of normal stuff, but they haven't done that map store that they promised all those years ago, and I don't know why. They must have a reason. Either it was too much money too much work for the money, or it was, you know, demand wasn't what they thought it would be, or I don't know. But
it's a strange. I don't know why they haven't, really, because if you look at it, like, I would quite happily pay for a lot of those sort of Starship Dota games that have been made on there.
Those are good.
You know, there's the sort of single player or local multiplayer MMO style thing, mm-hmm, that was made as well, which would be great, and I'd pay for those, mm-hmm, and that would, to be honest, you'd make more people do more things on there, because, you know, they would pay.
Right, and I would be more likely on the WoW side to pay for items that I thought looked cool in some kind of community store, and they could just keep out penis hats or whatever. I don't know how they, like, Valve does this. They moderate that. So
yeah, they've got moderated, and there's sure, player moderated, you know, a community moderated.
Right, but I think what would be interesting is, even if the stuff looked like crap and it was at the bottom of the heap, yeah, there'll be some ironic douchebags that want to just buy the crappy looking one and wear it around town and say, look at this dumb hat I have on. But it would be, you know, the good stuff would rise to the top, and I'd be willing to say that helm and those pauldrons are badass, and I'm going to pay $2 for that set because those are cool, and a piece of that goes to the maker, and 30% goes to Blizzard, and everyone's happy. Like, I think that would actually work, but they would have to invest in the moderation bit, the curation part side of it, and be okay with occasionally a guy running around with a hat that's shaped like an upside down, goblin face or something. Like, it's just going to be the way it is.
People will find a way, Scott, to put a penis in the game. They just
always find a way.
I mean, yeah,
the Kirin Tor Tavern. Yeah. Come on,
yeah,
come on.
We had a whole, you know, we had Wangs of Warcraft, and I think if you type it into, let me check it in Google, see what comes up. Yeah, right. That's our one. The Tumblr. Me and Shram made it.
Yeah,
and we used to get sent them in, and it's just, you know, you look, go around, you know, Azeroth. There's a lot of phallic objects.
Ooh.
And So my favorite's the Karazhan Tower. You know, turn that some bitch sideways, and you got yourself pretty,
very
pretty
true, actually, yeah,
inappropriate. Yeah. You know.
Mm. So anybody who's a Tauren character, go get yourself a Kirin Tor Tavern, tabard, and slash dance, and just tell me that doesn't look like a swinging D. All right. All of it
has knock on
B. I never thought of it as a swinging B, but sure. I like where you're
swinging,
like,
D. Swinging D.
Oh, I thought you said, yes, B.
No. That would make no sense, Scott.
Yeah. Oh, I remember that one. People thought they were just getting the Tauren's were just getting some sweet rep, but really they were swinging their D.
No, they got rep. They got rep. Don't
you
worry about that.
Lady rep. All right, Dave Kosick, who we love, who I almost took over his comic he was working on when he did it for GameSpy back in the day, and then it didn't happen because of a lot of reasons, but I had no idea what he was in for when he went to Blizzard. Now that guy's like top of the heap. But anyway, 5.5 is coming. He confirmed it. Justin Jackson asked him on Twitter, curious, will we see Orgrimmar back to normal after 5.4, such as the Troll District? Be odd to see current 5.4 PTR next expansion. Dave wrote in, or replied, and said, most of Orgrimmar's permanent changes will happen in a future patch, but before the next expansion. If that's not a confirmation that we'll get some piece of content patch before the next expansion,
we always get the patch that brings us up to date for that expansion in terms of systems and things like that. It could just be part of that. You know, we don't know at this time if that's actually going to be a new content, but with the fact that we haven't heard anything about a new expansion yet, and the fact that BlizzCon isn't until November, and that we haven't even had a beta yet, I would be surprised if, with the pace of content they've made for this expansion, that they didn't have something to tide us over in between now and whatever the next expansion is.
Mm. Very nice. Who put this? Someone tacked some news in here. Is this you, Dill?
Oh, that's me.
Oh, that's you. Tell me about this. 5.4.
So what it is, it's basically in the PTR when it went live, they found everyone loves this. In the expansion, in the folder, there was an expansion 5 folder, which has an Iron Horde texture in it. Now, currently, the texture is actually just a bit of metal that's on the Horde banners in the Siege of Orgrimmar raid. But what people have been kind of losing their minds about is that it's in a folder in the game labeled Expansion 05.
Whoa.
Now, to put it into context, Mists is Expansion 04. Yeah. So what people are wondering then is, like, is Iron Horde an actual, you know, is this going to be the expansion? Is this the next thing? Do the Mogu kind of know how to remove the curse of flesh? Maybe the orcs were originally made of iron and they were Titan creations and now they're going to go, you know, and everyone's kind of losing their minds trying to theory craft what this means and trying to, you know, figure out. It could literally be a typo. It could literally be the fact that they're equally is the same iron texture being used in the next expansion as they're using in this patch.
Yeah.
But what's kind of nice is it's just nice to see some expansion 5 being said somewhere in the game files.
Yeah, this is...
Well, the button 5 is next to 4, so it's pretty easy.
It's very easy to do. It's a very excuse mistake.
And Blizzard has said nothing, so... unless they do. I haven't seen any blue posts about this, so unless they do, we probably won't know. All right, real quick, before we take that any further, I want to talk about our friends at Audible.com. Audible.com has been providing me with great audio entertainment, including the books I love so much, for years now. Years and years and years. And they've been such a great supporter of this show. Just heard yesterday Patrick Rothfuss's series, The King Killer Chronicles. Specifically, the book I first read, or the one I, well, everyone should read first, is The Name of the Wind, the first book in the series, is all being made into a TV show. And nobody knows exactly for sure what 20th Century Fox now has the rights. Could end up anywhere, really. It may not be a Fox channel. We don't know. Cable, whatever. But as that all unfolds, it got me to thinking about how much I freaking loved that book, especially that first book. And it is available on Audible. Here's just a taste of it, a little piece of it. Right here.
The lamps on the wall were burning blue. Graham, Jake, and Shep nodded to themselves. The three friends had grown up together, listening to Cobb's stories and ignoring his advice.
That's right. Narrated by Nick Podell, I want to say is how you pronounce his name. All written by Patrick, of course. This is unabridged, and it's amazing, and you should check it out. You can get that or any other book on Audible.com absolutely free. But here's how you have to do it. You have to go to this special address. It's audiblepodcast.com/wow, W-O-W, you know, like World of Warcraft. You might be familiar with it. And if you do that, you'll get a free audiobook of your choice, that book or any other. That's audiblepodcast.com/wow. We thank Audible for their support of the show. All right, back to it. But it would be, okay, so let's just take it to, let's take our brains this direction and say that it's, that the Horde realignment / reorganization / Grosh is dead, let's move on thing that happens. Does that open up the, well, there's a problem here, because do we then get another very Horde-focused expansion and piss off all of the Alliance once again?
Or are we thinking all those faction, all those within the Horde who are aligned with Grosh, maybe they still feel that, you know, the Horde isn't going in the right direction and they splinter off into the Iron Horde, the true Horde. They go back to being, you know, Titanic-style creations and we have to fight them. People are saying the Black Prince was, you know, warning of something, you know, some great evil coming to Azeroth. What's to say it isn't the Titans returning?
Oof.
You know, we sent off that signal at the end of Wrath saying, like, oh no, all's good, don't worry, we're all good. No, don't send anyone. But maybe they thought, well, we better send someone.
Yeah.
You know, what's to say we're not going to be up against the Titans themselves, the gods that created us?
Yeah.
And we've got to, you know, take them down. who'd you kill after that?
Yeah. Well,
but who knows?
That would be kind of the end, wouldn't it? I mean,
don't forget the old saying.
We killed all the gods. What now?
Yeah. Don't forget the old saying. Remember the Titans. Don't forget. It's an age old saying. Remember the Titans.
Yep. Wrath of the Titans.
Yeah, Wrath of the Titans. They get pissed. So yeah, Wrath. That's the new expansion name. Here's what I think they should have the new. So everyone, when you talk to an orc, guard or whoever. They should say, instead of for the Horde, they should say for the reorg. Get it? Reorganization? Huh? Get it? See? Got it? See where I'm at? Like, see what I'm thinking?
Yeah. And speaking of that, why don't they call it Orgrimmar? Why is it Orgrimmar?
I don't know. What's the deal?
All right. Orgrim.
Airline food. Come on.
Yeah, what's the deal with airline food? All right. So, Dills, we got a little something here for hunters, some hunter talk, which we haven't done much of on the show.
Hunter talk.
Very nice.
Hunter talk.
Deterrence will now have, on the PTR currently, deterrence has a 0.8 second cooldown, down from 2 minutes. That has to be. Why would they do that?
I, it should be a 5 second cooldown.
Do you know, even then, the way I don't care. It's honestly could not count how many cares I don't care. It's ridiculous.
Well, it's hard to count to zero. It's true.
Yeah.
But yes, yeah, so it's what's happening with deterrence is so they're getting rid of readiness completely. Readiness gone.
Yeah.
So what deterrence is now going to do is it's going to have 2 charges. And you get to use it twice within 3 minutes. And then once you use it the second time, then you have to wait 3 minutes to use it again.
Yeah.
So that's what this is really going to be. But then, should be
half a
it
second.
It should be a 5 second cooldown because it lasts 5 seconds.
Yeah.
So it should be as soon as it's done.
Keep it up.
Yeah. It's got to be a typo. But I wanted, the reason I even brought this up is I just wanted to share my, I don't know if I share this fear or if it's just me, but, and having not played PTR, I can't speak to it. The loss of readiness terrifies me. Like, that is so crucial to what I do. I don't get it.
They had already screwed it up by changing, like, basically what they're going to do is they're getting rid of readiness and they're buffing at this point they're just buffing whatchamacallit, the thing where you send all your pets. What the hell is wrong with my brain?
Stampede.
Correct. Thank you.
So they're buffing Stampede.
Sorry, just the non-hunter can do that. That's fine.
Yeah, okay. Non-hunters know all the hunter spells.
I
can't see anything happening on my screen. Oh wait, there's 2 hunters in our group.
I refer to it as the Henry wave because they're all Henrys in my thing.
They're all whatever the hell I have out too. It just depends. Well, Kid A is always the name. But anyway, so they're buffing that. They're gonna buff some of our big shots too. They're basically, it's gonna simplify the whole gameplay of a hunter because currently, what you have to do is you really have to manage all your cooldowns early in a fight, hit readiness, and then bust all your cooldowns out one more time. That's going to be a thing of the past. Now it's just your cooldowns are going to work like everyone else's. You use them actually once every 2 minutes or 3 minutes or whatever it might be. So it's going to simplify the way hunters play, and they're going to buff us back to the point where we're going to be competing with everybody else. I'm not worried about that.
So you're confident this will all work out in the end.
Yeah, hunters have never been at the bottom of the pile as far as DPS output, so I don't think that's going to happen now. And they're simplifying the game again for hunters. Well, we can run and shoot. We can you don't have to hit readiness.
No minimum range or any of that. Yeah. No more arrows.
Yeah, no more arrows. No more feeding the pet.
Yeah, just keep going back and no more mana. Holy crap.
Yeah. Eventually, we're just going to be like rogues from a distance. We're just,
So but, you should.
Yeah, it's. It's actually going to be fine, I think. I'm not too worried about them getting rid of readiness. It's honestly another button I don't have to push now. So
hunters are
soon it
rogues.
Would just be back to that one button. Just auto attack.
We're going to be like arcane mages. We're just going to slam our head into a keyboard and top the charts.
All right, you just coined today's title. Hunters are rogues from a distance. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a song from the 80s. All right, so there you go. Real quick, World of Tweets.
That's dropping tweet. My face.
I know, it's really good. It's amazing stuff. World of Tweets, as a healer, says someone on Twitter, I hate this nonstop AOE heal spam playstyle. And Greg Street said, we do think AE heal spam has gotten out of control again. The healer toolkit, he said toolkit, but I think he meant toolkit. Or maybe that's a new. There's another hint about
that's
the next
the
expansion.
Internal thing. That's it. Because like he says AE as opposed to AOE.
Yeah.
They really they want us to stop saying AOE, don't they?
I don't know. Is it Age of Empires? Is that the worry? is he? Because he's ex Age of Empires as well. Maybe he's particularly against using AOE.
Yeah, he was. He was in that.
That's special.
Say it.
He was
you
part
never
of.
Never see a dev or anybody say AOE. It's just AE.
Yeah, AE. Isn't that weird? It's weird.
They got to be on message. It's how they know if they've been media trained or not. If you ever see a Blizzard person say AOE, PR can jump in quickly and get him out before he says anything else about expansion 5.
I love it. So yeah, Lindsay, if you're listening, she's not, she's on the floor at much call it, but yeah, I'd like to hear more about this. Lindsay, what's her name at Blizzard? I forget her last name.
All right. Okay.
But anyway, I wonder if she would know anything about the internal voice of Blizzard versus this, the way we all talk. But anyway,
Lindsay's last name, isn't that the first ever Pokemon? I forget what it,
it's the hard name, dude. Can you even say it? I don't even know how to say it.
Yeah. Lindsay, she's there you so go. Nice, just go though. With the first one. Exactly. She's just so the nice. First one. That's all you need.
The healer toolkit lacks the depth when single target heals are ignored. It's challenging because every time we nerf AEs, again, shortening it, rather than going to single target heals, healers just feel too weak to heal. So it's a challenge. And I just thought, we never talk about healers on the show. So there's a little sum for you healers right there. Another tweet went out. Guys are making a mess of the last patch. Should have done this retooling with an expansion. And his response was, I do as well, but he says, it's often a tough balance. Many players want their issues fixed now and don't want to wait an indeterminate amount of time in the future. That's a really good point. Yeah. Plus, you know, can we have it both ways? I mean, we keep begging for more content
It's a living, breathing game. That's the problem, is that it's going to need, you know, tweaking along the road, and sometimes it needs dramatic rethinking as time goes on. And ultimately, it keeps it spicy. Mm-hmm. You know, I kind of look forward to a patch after a big change because it's like, oh, hang on. I've actually got to engage my brain a little bit. Now I'm actually paying attention. It's like all of a sudden everything, you know, is more vibrant, tastes better, and all that other jazz. You know, you actually rather just fly on,
or a sriracha on your game. Yeah.
Exactly. You just can't be on autopilot the whole time.
Right.
Sure.
Totally.
And you know, the point that they make in the response is very valid, and that is that if something is broken, do we have to wait to fix it? Or, you know, I mean, let's just fix everything as it's broken. And I personally want them to be of that mindset. I don't want them to go, well, look, a new content expansion is coming out in 6 months. Don't worry, hunters. By then, everything will be fine. Don't worry, mages. By then, we'll fix, you know, no, don't do that. Yeah. If something's not working, fix it now because you can. You have the ability. You have the resources. Just do it. Yeah. And
I'm just still happy that Blizzard is answering trolley tweets. These aren't necessarily trolley, but there was a bunch that I was looking at today where they're just like, you know, some of them are a-holes and they still go, no, they'll ask the question why. Like someone will say, something's broke, fix it. And he'll write, you want to tell me a little bit more about why you don't like it? We're pretty happy internally with it, but we'd be curious to know what's maybe not. You know, like this face of Blizzard, the Twitter face of Blizzard, if, for lack of a better term, ever since Greg joined Twitter, has, I think, immeasurably improved how we get info from Blizzard and how much transparency there's been. I think it's been fantastic. So
yeah, and you know, I want to say this too. If you have a complaint about something, I'm glad Blizzard is responding to a tweet that starts out with "Guys are making a mess of the last patch," which is, you know, just kind of like right there. That's a statement that, as someone who does support, I would just kind of get turned off. Like, I get these emails all the time where it's like, "Your site sucks. Can you fix this thing for me?" And it's like, I don't really want to fix it for you now, you know? But so, T, could you stop sending me those emails?
I will try. Now, I didn't realize it hurt you and upset you so much. But
it really,
you
know, I cry at my desk all the time. No, but it does. What's the saying? You catch more
flies with honey than you do with
flies. Sure.
You catch more fish with sugar than you do with salt.
Right.
Uh-huh. Because they've got salt already. It's in the water. Yeah. They like the rarity of sugar.
The fact is that you'll get results a lot faster if you're pleasant to people. And so just remember that,
guys. Or if they're fish. If they're not people, they're fish as well.
Also, you'll get more fish with pleasantness. Brilliant. Yeah. Pleasant fishermen do the best.
That's my favorite thing I've heard all day. All right. Let's do some emails.
Hear ye, hear ye.
Why? It's the Town Crier.
Oh, yeah. Town Crier, where we take your calls and read your emails. Brought to you today by DoghouseSystems.com. Doghouse Systems, the best gaming rigs on the planet. You want one? I have one. We love them. Turkster has one as well. We have two. And I have an old one as well, which is still just kicking it. The kids are loving it. They're playing all my games on it. I have to keep logging them out of Steam, damn it, because I don't want them in when I want to play. They're amazing. You can get double the memory still with the code Henry. That's the name of my pet in World of Warcraft. Or GURP, which is the name of my character, GERP. That'll get you $50
Nepalism.
Free money. That's right. Nephilim is what it is.
Nephilim, that's what you are, a Nephilim.
A Nephilim. You can learn more at doghousesystems.com. They will take care of you, I can promise you that. All right. Our number to call, if you want to leave us a voicemail to play on the show, is 801-471-0462. Or you can email us your thoughts and your attachments to theinstance@gmail.com. A quick reminder, if you send us a 4 to 5 minute call, we will not be playing it on the show. And I know you have important things to say, but if it takes you that long to say it, no way in hell. If they're a minute or less, you have a really good chance. If they're longer than that, it's just a general reminder. We don't remind people, but lately,
just in general,
yeah, lately I've been getting like 5 minute calls. So,
hi, Scott. I'd like to just talk to you about stuff happening, but in a really kind of lazy, meandering way. I haven't really thought about what I'm going to say, but I feel it's important enough to waste multiple minutes of your time. I'd like to mention that I don't really appreciate the fact that you often say that calls should be a minute or less, because I was always taught if you've got something worth saying, you should take a really long time saying it before you actually say the thing.
Filibuster.
I don't know. Anyway, yeah, I was bored.
Whoops, I didn't mean to hit that. You were bored with your own phone call.
I was bored with my own chatting about boring phone calls.
Totally understand.
Literally how it's gone.
All right. Last week, Terpster and I talked about the idea of a gold allowance in the game to help deal with some of the issues coming up with in-game gold selling and this sort of thing. And we had some thoughts from a listener. Here it is.
This is Ventari. I'm a listener at The Instance, and I was just listening to, I guess it'll be last Friday's show, and you guys were talking about gold in the in-game economy. And it came across my mind that, like you had said, if, say, Blizzard every month gave everybody a 1,000 gold, well, you know, that's not going to actually have any effect, because if everybody has that extra gold lying around, then it's just going to get spent.
See, I think more importantly than having it lying around, it means it will get spent. I think it's just a lateral move, because all you've done to the economy is say, okay, well, you all have 100 gold in your accounts. Well, now you all have 1,000, and you all have it.
I mean, again, I think that's kind of been taken a little bit out of context, or just probably wasn't phrased correctly. Mm. But I think what I was chatting about, at least, is ways we can try and nullify the value of gold in regards to hacking and gold selling and all of that. And really, I think it comes down to providing people with gold through a manner through Blizzard. And that way, a gold farmer has to compete with someone else. Mm-hmm. If Blizzard sells gold, a gold farmer illegally has to sell it cheaper. And if Blizzard is selling gold at a very cheap rate, then there's no value or money for the gold farmers in having to operate. Now, it might be now, if it's not so much actual physical people and it is all bots and hacks and all of that, that maybe it doesn't matter how cheap you make it, they'll still be able to make some money out of it. But I figure if you're actually kind of having to support people and pay people, that the value of gold is the crux behind it. Mm. And I think what we were chatting more so is that if Blizzard were to make the game free to play, they could then say, like, if you subscribe, however, and carry on paying your subscription, you, the subscribers, would get a gold allowance or something, and you would get given, you know, 1,000 gold from mum and dad every month.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the free to players, they can buy that same gold. But again, I don't think this is the solution by any stretch of the imagination, but I do feel like the only way you can truly beat the illegal selling of gold is to legally sell gold.
Yeah, it's like drugs.
A little bit like drugs, I would say.
You want to get rid of the cartels? You make all drugs legal.
Listen, I and as controversial as that may sound to some ears out there, I just finished watching Ken Burns' documentary about about Prohibition in the 30s, mm-hmm. 20s and 30s. Yeah. It is that is a fantastic, freaking amazing documentary, period. And if you like history at all, you owe yourself, and you like American history, it's an absolute must watch. But what's very interesting about it, the big lesson takeaway that they didn't overtly shove in your face or anything,
It was
Ken Burns and his effect. But as I got through that thing, I realized this is really interesting, because when Prohibition was in effect, which is a full-on ban of alcohol in this country, it was actually easier for you to get it. It was all illicitly gotten, but it was there was it was unregulated. Get it anywhere. They could put wood alcohol in there, and you would never know because, again, you're getting it through all these back channels and stuff. Think of it as viruses on a website from a gold seller. It's the same kind of problem, except these were actually killing people. And then when prohibition was abolished or taken out, the amendment was amended, they it became not harder, but it became – all the lawful things fell into place. You had to be a certain age to drink. You could, and that would vary state to state. They'd have their own kind of laws. You could only have so much alcohol content per fluid ounce, whatever, whatever. Like all of these quote unquote restrictions got put into place naturally because people started to govern themselves and figure out ways to make it so that you were not governing morality, you were governing safety. And it's now harder to get a drink, or if you want to flip it the other way, you have to earn that drink by being the right age, being a lawful citizen, drinking responsibly, but it's there for you to have. And it was really fascinating. Like
it's an interesting dynamic because if you look at, like, say, Portugal, which basically like made drugs legal, they actually dropped all of the terrible addiction rates and all these things actually went down because of the fact that, it's like you said, it becomes like a regulated industry and all that stuff. And what ended up happening with prohibition, though, too, is that we created the mafias and then we took away that thing. So then they just went and found other things to do to make money. But
and they always will.
It's like the real way to stop any illegal activity is make it legal. And that's a weird thing. And
it doesn't work for everything. It's not like you can. It's not like you can say, oh, well, there'll be less child molesters if we suddenly make it okay for guys to molest children. Nobody's suggesting that. There are obviously lines. It's complicated.
There'd be less illegal ones. Morally, it would still be wrong.
Right.
Sure. So I'll say this.
Yeah.
If you're a teenager and you're under the age of 21, it's easier to get illegal drugs than it is to get alcohol because you have to get a fake ID, go into a store, get the alcohol.
Yeah.
But no drug dealer is going to ask you for an ID when they're selling to a teenager. And that's – so basically it's like, if you made gold – if Blizzard started selling gold and they started selling it at a price point that was lower than what gold farmers were doing to the point where that was no longer a profitable business, all those people who are making money doing the gold farming would just, they'd find a new way to make money, but it wouldn't be this.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it would eradicate it completely, but it would definitely decimate the industry as a whole. Like the whole, like the bigness of it would go way down and it would be much less prevalent.
I
find it sad that the only other thing I have with as much security on it as my battle.net account is my bank account.
Right.
And that for me kind of says like we're in a really scary place. Mm. If there's perceived value of that amount, and yet the it feels that under threat. It's very strange. It's just very, very, very strange. And I like I said, for me, it kind of makes me feel a little bit uneasy. And I would like there to be a solution. And that's the kind of easiest first thing that comes to mind. And I would have hoped that Blizzard has talked about it internally. And it might be, again, as we're saying with, baby steps, maybe they are just too scared to take that big leap it would take to try and tackle something like this in that manner. Mm-hmm. But God knows they've done enough, preventative measures now, short of having like a retina scan and a fingerprint reader to log on to my, WoW account, I don't know what more they can do. So for me, it kind of feels like we've treated all the symptoms. Now, can we try and treat the problem?
Yeah, I agree. Sure. And by the way, I'm looking forward to your blog comments / emails accusing us of wanting your children to drop acid on the weekends. So I'm looking forward to all
by the
that.
Way.
Yeah.
Yeah. I I'll put this out there. Drugs are bad, okay, and don't do them, and there you go.
Yeah, that's as simple as that. You probably ought to not do drugs, but I'd really much rather, if marijuana was legal, I'd rather you be able to be regulated legally and have to.
I just don't want bad people to be the ones in charge of that.
There
that's all.
You go. Yep, that's basically all. It. I don't want bad people in charge of gold selling either. There you have it. Mm-hmm. Why do you? I mean, Blizzard to some mistake went with that Diablo. Real money auction house for a couple of reasons. One obviously was motivated by money, but really it was to eliminate a giant black market that has been a pox on the Diablo series since Diablo 2.
But it changed the dynamic of that game, and that game was built around loot.
Yeah.
I would argue that WoW is built around upgrades, but those are often achieved now through manas that aren't gold. I feel they're achieved through raiding, through, you know, valor and honor points, mm-hmm. Conquest points, all of these different points that you earn that are bound to your character. Those, I think, are great and can stay that. But I feel like gold, if there is still this trade going on and there's still this, you know, value in this, you know, virtual currency, then Blizzard should own it. They should make it and regulate it. You know, the amount of iOS apps I have where I've got, you know, in-game currency that they charge me for, a premium currency, mm-hmm. you know, I'm not against that anymore. I've accepted that as a model and as a sort of reality of online gaming in many ways.
Yeah, many.
And I just, you know, I don't feel like I'm ever at risk of people hacking my Simpsons town to steal my donuts. And that's there isn't enough value for the time it would take to do that. You might as well just buy the donuts yourself.
Yep.
Yeah, like Book of Heroes does it really well, where they sell you this stuff, but you can earn it in game if you want to. Right. If you don't want to spend any money. I've had this game for a while now, never spent a dime on it, and you know, I'm not had a bad experience. But if I wanted to, you know, take a shortcut, I could do that and do it right there through the game. I'm not trying to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Not going to a shady website that's going to put a bunch of malware on my computer at the same time it's selling me a bunch of gold. So
no, it's the reason iTunes and other services turned music piracy around in the favor.
Yeah.
Is because they made it the right price and they made it easy.
Got to make it easy. Yeah, you got to make it easy. And they've actually, I mean, there was just that article that piracy has actually gone down quite a bit as the model's changed. You know, it's right. Like I'm sure there's still lots of piracy, but there's still money to be made for the companies that are legitimately putting the content out.
Exactly. And if Blizzard feels if Blizzard feels bad about, you know, selling gold, then, you know, let someone else do it. Have a partner up with PayPal, mm-hmm. and you can buy gold legitimately through PayPal or something like that. I don't know.
Sure.
It just kind of feels like, you know, there must be a better way.
Yeah. By the way, how forward-thinking was PayPal? My gosh. I'm just saying, it's like years ago, PayPal was a thing. You're like, that's weird. Online money. What the hell? It's slowly, the market has shifted in a direction that PayPal was like, oh man, how sweet is it that we are the ones that were prepared for this?
Yeah, we did it first. Yeah.
It's crazy.
Well, okay, so let me just say real quick.
Yeah.
I think it was a few weeks ago on this show, maybe longer than that, I talked about how we should just get rid of readiness and just make all those things happen twice within the cooldown.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah, I remember that.
So guess what's happening?
What?
Deterrence is now doing that, right? So, Blizzard, if you're listening, we just solved your problem.
Clearly they're
now
listening.
Now you just got to do it.
Clearly they listen. They
listen to us. Yeah. We got it.
That
we
one time this. Terpster said, man, I wish I had a shield with my name on it.
I wish it was sonorous in some way. I think if they did listen, it was.
I wish that its stats were set up for a shaman. I really wish that.
I think it was us complaining about Scott getting his arrow and us not.
Yeah.
That's the point. Oh.
I remember that because it came out first and they spelled it GURP with a U. And, yeah.
Exactly. And they were like, oh, this is awkward. should we get the other one as well? We don't have to, do we? I think they're going to kick up a fuss every time.
It's not very sonorous to do that.
Exactly. Well, got a shield out of it, so there's a life lesson there.
All right, got one last email here. This one is from a 70-year-old player of the game and a listener of the show, which I love to hear from people outside of what we think of as the normal demographic. And it expands my mind as to who the game appeals to, and I like these perspectives. He says, I'm a longtime listener and subscriber to WoW since 2005. I have multiple alts on several realms. I have done a lot of work getting geared up and repped up over the years. I understand Terpster's argument I should not begrudge someone getting gear that I worked very hard to get because the achievement is its own reward and satisfaction. Who cares how others get gear? The problem with that position is that when you devalue past efforts, you then devalue future efforts as well. That's kind of an interesting point of view. If I know that I can get a piece of unique gear for this huge effort today, and tomorrow some noob, 70-year-old saying noob, some noob will be able to wear it when he purchases it through a game store for greenbacks, why bother? My whole view of the future and my accomplishments is diminished, and the value of my subscription is then reduced. Additionally, even though Terpster sees the auction house as a minor secondary feature, there are many people, myself included, who consider the auction house to be a huge part of why we play WoW. This game has many facets to it, and when you remove one, you will be reducing, if not eliminating, value from my subscription. Do not underestimate the number of people who enjoy the solo experience of the game. I'm 70 years old, and I love the game. My guild has disappeared, and my sons who introduced me to the game are no longer playing, but I love exploring, doing quests, scenarios, pet battles, and achievements. I love the professions which play a part of the auction house game. So my voice represents a lot of people who have come, who love to get on and are unfettered by guild requirements and schedules. We can play at our own pace, get the unique gear, and accomplish things which give meaning to the game. For me, it's a fun retreat that keeps me engaged and entertained. The many podcasts I listen to help me do that, and I'm thankful for that. You guys are really great and have been for many, many years. Mighty Hunter on the Forgotten Coast. Okay.
Hunter!
So, yeah. It's almost like two parts, but he makes an interesting point. Go ahead.
The work versus devaluing it because someone got it easier than you already exists.
Right.
Okay. You get anything in this game, give me a year, I can get the same thing that you got for a fraction of the time or effort. There are very, 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 very few things in this game that are either isolated to a single time when it is hard to get, or just in an unachievable way to get. Time sinks, like the long, strange trip. You know, I got that the first year it came out. I never missed a holiday for that first year. You'd argue that's actually a bit harder to do than to kind of pick up Halloween a couple of years later, mm-hmm. because you didn't have to make yourself as devoted to that. Now, my Protodrake is exactly the same color as everyone else's Protodrake. Mm. There's nothing that says that I went through a more stringent, harder schedule to achieve that achievement.
Right.
You know, I got that as soon as you could get it because I made it a goal and I was very proud of that. Do I still equip that Protodrake? Not really. Do I care? Not really. It was fun and I know I did it. And I did it, and that was an achievement for me. Equally, if you go out and you get a cool armor set, which you then choose to transmog, I can get that same armor set as well now. And likelihood is I can do it by myself, whereas before it took you a guild raid of 25 guys. Mm-hmm. I personally don't think it exists, and I think even then it could be better because Blizzard could say, okay, you want this color variant, you have to get it through the game. If you want this color variant, then that one you pay money for. Mm. And I would be completely happy with it. Literally someone looking at me and going, well, that's got a tint of green to it. It's glowing green. That means you paid money for it.
Right.
I do agree with what this guy's saying, and that is that when you change the actual, so you're right that things get easier as you obviously expansions come out, you get higher levels. I can go back. The red Protodrake I got when that was like really hard to get, right? And that was, you had to do all those achievements in the 5-man dungeons. Very difficult to get at the time. And I was really proud of being able to do that at the time I did it. But what I think the point here is that when you change, so sure, it got easier to do in game, you still had to go through those actions to get it. When you then take that and now sell it for just money and you take out the in-game aspect of it, it devalues it in a different way. So I think,
well, I got the rusted Protodrake from Oldwar the other day, my paladin, and he was level 90, and I can assure you that was no achievement at all, and yet I was getting showered in achievements. And the fact is Blizzard allows you to be able to, and it doesn't mean that you flying around on your Iron Protodrake versus mine, yours took real skill, coordination, and just a good team ethic and good team. Mine just took a load of people outgeared and outleveled the content. And just someone said, like, oh, don't kill him that quick, guys. We need to wait for him to do X.
You got to get that achievement. Yeah, exactly.
No, exactly. And so it just seems to me, at least, that I don't think that this is a problem that doesn't exist now. I think it's a bigger problem now than if they were to address it, through money stores.
But to give him...
I just would like it to be separated. I would like it to be in-game stuff. Whether or not it gets easy later, that's just an inherent problem with the way the game works, and that's not going to go away.
Right.
But I would like it to be that anything that's sold for money is a separate item that's not already existing in the game.
I'd like those to be
two separate things, and so we know that they're two separate things, and then they just always go in divergent paths, and we never, cross-pollinate between the two. I think you just got to let them be two separate things, and then it's
fine. What about custom titles? I would love to buy a custom title. So I'd be like Terpster the Mighty or something like that. Mm. And I can type in the whatever and like a guild name if it's, you know, profanities that can get changed by GM. But I'd pay $5 for that per character.
Yes, that sounds cool.
And the thing is, there's a million ways they can do other things as well. But I don't think they have to be scared about doing things that are in game. I think, again, just mix it up slightly, or just keep it the same and make sure it's a suitable time later. If they were to sell the tier one and tier two sets now for real money, I don't think anyone's going to lose any sleep over that.
No.
I don't think anyone's going to be like, oh man, I had to raid Molten Core for months to get my set, and I had enough DKP, and then that damn druid came in and got this, and I wanted that, and you know, it's I don't think anyone would care. Well, so maybe there's just a window of of giving a crap.
And honestly, then you can actually look back and say, well, that was I did that in college before I got married and had two kids. Like it's literally that long ago for some of these things. And I do think that time heals those wounds, for lack of a better phrase, and it doesn't matter that much. But I think what would answer this issue for the person that wrote in, and something you said earlier, is this. Make it, if you're going to keep this stuff in the game, and even if you're going to sell stuff that's already in the game and was hard to get otherwise, but now you can just pay for it, or whatever the combination is, I like that idea that the Proto Drake that Dills worked so hard to get looks slightly different. His eyes are burning. There's some kind of throbbing green color coming off his back. His tail's got a piece of armor on it that you can only get through that hard way. And the one that Terpster went and breezed his way through is less so unique in that way.
I think that's the idea.
It requires more time from Blizzard. And equally, if you make it different on money transactions, some people would argue, the completionists out there, oh, hang on, I can only get the blue one from paying money. I have to get the yellow one from doing the hard work. And to get the blue one, I have to pay money. I want the blue one. You know, there's no way for me to get the blue one unless I pay money. Yeah. You can't please all the people all the time. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And I think really they just have to find a happy balance and also resign themselves to knowing that they are going to piss some people off. But equally, they could make for, you know, a more enjoyable play experience for others.
Well, no.
And it is striking that balance.
12 million people or whatever, 10 million people now, whatever the actual number is right now, are never going to all be happy.
Is it eight something now, right?
Is it eight, now? Seven? I don't know. Yeah, it's down, isn't it?
Yeah.
You're never going to make all 8 million people happy. And I think they understand that. So they're just kind of moving forward with what they think works for right now and works for the people who are playing this game. But yeah, it's one thing you don't want to do, though, is you don't want to make somebody who worked really hard for something feel like that something was a waste of time later, because that's going to sour them on the game itself. You know, it's just going to make them feel a little bad about what they did when they used to feel really good about it. I mean, but it obviously goes both ways. I mean, you never really like another shout out to Bryce. He told me about how he beat 25 man heroic Lich King without the buff and then quit the game. Was like, all right, done. That was the thing. I did it. I'm out.
That was the end of the game for him. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's also the possibility that those really difficult things will actually make you go, no, I'm out now. Yeah. So, you know, it goes both ways. Obviously, everyone's a little different. You got 8 million people to worry about. I don't think they're making any really wrong decisions, but I don't think this guy's opinion is wrong. I don't think Terpster's opinion is wrong. They're just, everyone's got a different way to look at how these things work.
For sure. So. And I do think it's, to finish this up, I think it is interesting that they've never gone as far as to say, hey, those cool loot cards, you could only get through the TCG and you dug through decks and decks and decks to find them. I misspoke earlier saying there was a seesaw in the game. There never has been. I was thinking of the Rocking Horse, Spectral Rocking Horse thing.
I got the Spectral Tiger, Sandbox Tiger.
Sandbox Tiger, right. Those are fun. But these, again, are loot cards. They have never stepped over that line, at least not yet, to say, oh, yeah, remember that thing that was impossible to get, Spectral Tiger, back in the day? Well, now you can buy that for $5-$10. Like, that is one place they have not tread yet. I'm not saying they won't or they will.
That'd be interesting. If they sold the Spectral Tiger, which some people paid $2,000 for $20, like that then, I would almost understand it. And yet, even then, the reason they paid $2,000 is because Blizzard didn't allow people to pay a sensible price. It was almost a black market.
That's a good point.
It was like, yeah, we've made this really rare, you know, random, you know, lottery, and now we've created value where there was none. And Blizzard has done this with gold, and they've done this with mounts. And the more they bring it under their wing, as much as we lament paying, you know, $20 or whatever it is for one of these mounts, you know, Christ, thanks for not paying $2,000.
Right.
You know,
that's a lot.
So,
of money.
And equally, it's one of those things you kind of do. You feel that compelled to do, and ultimately, I don't find myself, you know, not having, for example, a spectral steed or a celestial steed, whatever it's called, I don't personally think that I've actually missed out from that.
Right.
So I think, you know, some people who want that, that's great. Others who don't, fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, I think everyone's fine with the store. And as we see it slowly encroach on the game, I think we just have to be ready to, when we feel it has gone too far, to speak out.
Yeah, I agree. Totally agree with that. Let's drop it.
The drop of the week.
Drop of the week this week is a final reminder that in about 10 hours from now, LFG and the Fork of Truth, the video game project on Kickstarter, will end its Kickstarter run.
Fork of Truth.
And here's the sad part.
Not to be confused with the Stick of Truth.
No.
Which is the South Park game.
Totally different thing.
Yeah.
Which I'm very much looking forward to, by the way.
Yeah.
I think it looks awesome.
Or the Spork of Truth,
right.
Which is totally different.
Which is not being made at all. Right.
No.
LFG and the Fork of Truth, still on Kickstarter. They have about 10 hours left. And it is, they're looking pretty short.
It doesn't
look
like it's going to happen.
Yeah. Really. I feel really bad about this because they're friends and we love these guys and I'm so stoked for what I've seen, but, I don't know. I feel like it's kind of also a tough time on Kickstarter for some indies because it's starting to get so many of them that
saturated right
now. It's just saturated. Yeah. So I think it's a worthy project. If you guys want to make a last minute pitch to get over there and help these guys out, you sure can. Just search for Fork of Truth on Kickstarter. It's a four-player co-op RPG. It looks amazing. You can solo it as well if you want. They have all kinds of cool packages. Playable on PC, Mac, and Linux. Really have no machine you can't run it on. Kickstarter ends today. Like I said, about 10 hours. Search Kickstarter for Fork of Truth. Those guys are awesome, and I really want to see them succeed with it. If that doesn't work this time, maybe they'll do a recount, come back. I don't know, but one way or the other, it feels like it needs to be made. So I'm excited for them. Quick contest. Let's do, we'll start this one anyway, and then we'll award it next week. This week's contest is a Mega Bloks WoW Dragon Turtle with Windpaw character riding it. You assemble it yourselves, and it's an awesome self-contained little package there. We will give that to a lucky winner, and this is how you enter. If you're listening live right now or later on the podcast, go to frogpants.com/contest. That's frogpants.com/contest. And if you go there, you can enter to win this thing. It'll just ask for your name and your email. And the email we will not share with anyone. It is only there so we can let you know if you won or not. And we'll award this next week on the podcast. So stay tuned for that. Again, that's the Mega Bloks WoW Dragon Turtle. Thanks to freaking Blizzard and to Mega Bloks for sending that to us. We really, really appreciate it. Yep.
I just got a nice tweet actually from Buxley who said, why not just change the name of stuff if you buy it? Why not have of the dollar added to the end or something like that, and I mean, ultimately then great. Why not?
Yeah.
Why not?
Well, I mean, you're just, it's the same argument. We're arguing for uniqueness.
Yeah. I don't think anyone's going to really be that bothered about getting an of the dollar unless they're like, no, because my character is all about being like a rap star and he's all about bling and he's all about dollar, 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 but still I think, you could do it.
But is it a bit like having L for loser tattooed on your head so people can tell which ones paid and which ones didn't? And I don't mean I don't mean that to be pejorative naturally. I'm saying that's how people do this. They see one of these dragon mounts. Like the banana dragon mount, whatever that one's called. People see that and they go, oh, well, you paid $25 for that, and therefore I think you suck. It just happens.
So?
Well,
does that matter?
It doesn't matter to me.
They don't have to make it kind of socially acceptable, just have to make it safe and an option.
Yeah,
it's up to you still. I don't say they have to encourage everyone to buy stuff. That's their own choice.
I just feel bad. Some kid, just imagine some 16-year-old kid, he's 15, let's say, and he goes to the store. I don't know why that matters. He goes to the store, and he buys this awesome new mount, and he's like, hey, guys, check it out. I freaking love this. I love the animation, and look at the – why are you all calling me a douche? Like, he doesn't it's less about me as a mature adult going, that's pretty cool. I'll pay for that. And it's more about a younger – class of gamer who are coming up in the ranks and will play Blizzard games until the end of time. You don't want them to walk away having some bully experience online because someone thought they were lame for buying their mount instead of earning it. I don't know. It's a tricky thing is all I'm getting at, and I'm sure they know this. So there you go. Also, quick iTunes shout outs to the following people on the US store. I want to thank Psycho Chinocchio. or Pinocchio.
Psycho Chico.
Or, Psycho Chico, is that it? Chun Chico?
Yeah.
Co?
Psycho Chico.
Nathan Ray, Minecraft Aid, Cashier, and Gamer Bro.
Did you ever give a shout out to Manibus?
No.
501?
Did Manny leave us a thing on there?
Yeah.
Our Manny? Wow.
That's awesome. Man, it was fight. We miss you, Dills and Gerb.
No, we missed him at Nerdtacular. He's actually here.
I know.
A week
he's
later,
in St. Louis now.
Yeah, he came here a week later for something else and just missed it by a hair. But we love Manny. So thanks, Manny. That's nice. I didn't know he did that. I would have called it out. Nice job on that. Big special thanks this week to GameTimeZone.com. Use the code Instance for 5% off your next game time. That's it. That is a show, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, I assume we don't have any UK shout-outs, I'm sure, right?
I don't know.
Okay.
So,
Terpster Lover 105. We love Terpster 24.
Terpster is great. Yeah. And all the others. Thanks to all of you for your 5-star reviews.
Yogscast 84.
I'll read them next time.
Okay, fantastic. Anything going on that you would like the fine folks to know about Terpster?
No. It's really hot.
Is it
strange? Yeah, over here.
Heat wave everywhere.
Yeah, it's heat wave. Yeah. So just make sure you ice yourself.
All that
excitement for that baby, the royal baby.
Yeah. Oh, I can't wait for the royal baby. Yeah, that's good.
Do we know the sex of that kid yet? Anybody know the gender?
No, I don't think so.
Fine. I mean, they're all inbred now anyway, right? Aren't they all just having sex with each other? How's that going?
I don't know.
In this case,
you
she's a commoner.
I could get killed, Scott. I could get assassinated.
Oh, that's right. She's a plebeian. She's an outsider. I forgot. She didn't come from within. Right. She's just somebody he met at a strip club.
Years normal.
That's the problem, you see. Anyway, we'll carry on.
I have a lot of misinformation about the royal thing. Dills, what's going on? Anything of import for you going on?
TortureCast, if you're a Giants fan, they just put out a new one without me. Unfortunately, I wasn't able to be there. Mm-hmm. But also, final Nerdtacular shout-out. Everybody showed up for my pool tournament. That was really fun.
Yeah, I'm glad that went off well. I kind of wanted to see that, and I got all tied up with other crap, but I'm glad.
I'm going to try to actually be a little bit more planned out next year and try to make this a thing that always happens. Because we only had 6 guys, but we had a great time. I ended up winning my own tournament, so still wearing the necklace that Quoted Nevermore made for me.
Those are so good. All that stuff was so good. I love
it. She made gold, silver, and bronze ones, so it was really cool. And then I gave a bunch of pet codes out, and I think none of the pet codes went to anybody who actually played in the tournament. I think they all just ended up getting randomly passed around to other nerds. So
I need,
but it was really fun. So thanks everybody for coming out for that.
I need to get in touch with her and do some instant stuff, because that stuff was all those 20-sided dies were cool. The Hearthstone stuff was cool. Like just cool stuff.
Yeah, she's a very talented individual.
Extremely talented. My kids were in love with everything she made. All right, well, that's going to do it for us, folks. Thanks for being here. Check out Matthew Oxley's homepage. Why? Because he does our theme music, and I think he's awesome. You go to MatthewOxley.com for more information there. I want to thank our intern, Paul Swicker, does our show notes and a bunch of other stuff. He was in Nerdtacular. It was great to see him there. Forum, show notes, archives, and more can be found at theinstance.net on Twitter. Find us at Instance Show. Me at Scott Johnson, Dills at Willie Dills, and Terpster at @_T. On Facebook, we're at @TheInstance. Find more great shows just like this at frogpants.com. That's going to do it for us, for me, for Dills, and for Terpster. We'll see you next time.
Bye-bye.
Indeed.
Silver Moon City, out of silver. It's the overly dramatic news. I'm Hunts the Wind. The Blood Elven city known as Silver Moon is famous for its beautiful architecture and fountains, but since the days of the Lich King campaign, it has been largely deserted, far from the front lines of battle against Arthas, Deathwing, or the Alliance. Aside from the occasional guild convention, its streets are empty, the silence only broken by the soft tinkle of magical crystals swaying in the breeze. With the tax base drastically reduced, the city was already in a precarious financial position. The costs of the Pandaria campaign against the Thunder King were the final straw, and yesterday the city was forced to declare bankruptcy. Cost-cutting measures being put into effect include turning off the fountains, shutting down the automated guardians, and instituting a toll on the translocation orb to the Undercity. To raise revenue, well-known city residents, the Level 90 Elite Tauren Chieftains, will be performing a benefit concert this Saturday in the Court of the Sun called Elf Aid. The hope is to raise enough money to pay the city's bills through the end of the fiscal year. In the long term, however, Silvermoon's best hope may be the ongoing leadership struggle in the Horde. If Regent Lord Lorthamar takes over as leader of the Horde, it seems likely he'd move the seat of government to Quel'Thalas. In the minds of most Silvermoon residents, that would be a capital idea. Broadcasting across all Azeroth, I'm Hunts the Wind. Check out the archives at OverlyDramaticNews.com or follow me on Twitter at Hunts the Wind.
Greetings and welcome to Slashgrants. I'm your host, Yifeng G4. I'm here to talk to you about the fun achievements you can earn in the World of Warcraft.
This week's achievement is all about Brawler's Guild, and what we're going to do is we're going to tell you about a couple quick and easy tips to get into... Oh, hold on a minute. I have a first rule of Brawler's Guild is not... Oh dear. Okay. We'll see you next week.
You can find me on the web at slashgrants.com, where you can catch up on these segments and even submit your own screenshot for the world to see. If you have some feedback, email me at feedback@slashgrants.com. If you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm Yifeng G4.
Storm, earth, and fire, heed my call.
Welcome back to Azeroth's Fantastic Race, and I'm your host, Bro Baby. And as you can hear, we're live in the Grim Guzzler with the Level 90 Elite Tauren Chieftains. Now, this week we bid goodbye to another team as they fought their way through the Sunwell Plateau. Well, the first team to arrive was, of course, Buxley and Johnny Feisty, and for winning this, they are the VIP guests for the Level 90 Elite Tauren Chieftains. Now, Revan Geek and Kephis arrived second, followed closely behind by Dills and Terpster. And Kill Jaden greeted them.
Do not harbor false hope. You cannot win.
Next in was Tanadalen and Sumpstein, but the real crush of people had just arrived with the final three of Damus Rovan, Myalissa, Morgra Amengur, and Aludra and Miss Mulgra. A foot race broke out with Aludra barely edging out the others, and at the last second, Damus Rovan turned to intercept some watching gnomes, yelling to the others to go on ahead while he held them off. Thus, the final team to arrive on this leg was Damus Rovan with a perturbed Myalissa, and we bid them farewell. Next time, we will launch the third leg of the Azeroth Fantastic Race, and you can check out the action at fantasticrace.blogspot.com, and you can follow me at BroBaby. Now enjoy as the Tauren Chieftains play us out.
Hello, I am Ataristus, Forsaken, Rogue Extraordinaire, and Chief Explorer for the Azeroth Archives. Unlike my ham-fisted, hammer-swinging bookmonger colleague, Vichorkus, I spend my time traveling the lands of Azeroth and Outland and studying their geography, creatures, and cultures, and finding new and satisfying ways to stab them all. Anyone who has been to Hellfire Peninsula knows hatred and terror of the Fellreavers. Powered by a core of Fellfire, they were built by Moarg engineers in the Burning Legion's forge camps to raise and pillage settlements, decimate armies, and patrol as sentinels around the lands claimed by the Legion. The last memory of many an unwary adventurer, distracted briefly by an herb or a vein of ore, has been the ground shaking, followed by a hideous screeching roar, and then blackness. To adventurers below level 70, my only advice is to avoid them at all costs. For those unfortunate enough to have crossed one's path but are now more seasoned veterans, only slaughtering the Alliance is sweeter than burying a poisoned dagger of revenge to the hilt in the demonic power core of a Fellreaver. Squidface will be back next week, assuming he doesn't bore you to death. Insane. Dark Lady, zombie. Watch over you until I return.
Welcome to the Science of Warcraft. This week, the other effects of magic. Once again, we're going into speculative territory. We already know that magic can directly affect space on a small scale. But what about on a massive scale? As we have explored before, if something has a mass, it also has a gravitational field. However, when scientists looked at different galaxies, they found their models didn't work. the amount of stars could not account for all the mass needed for the galaxies to form. It was theorized that dark matter took up a large portion of matter in those galaxies, as well as in the rest of the universe. Dark matter can't be directly observed, but its other effects is a method of indirect observation. For example, dark matter generates gravity, so it warps space and the path of light just like any star. So what does that mean for magic? Does magic, without any outside influence, generate gravity? More importantly, how much magic is there? Send your own thoughts on this topic to scienceofwarcraft@gmail.com. And always remember that the world has much more depth than you realize.
Ready, aim, what?
This is Hunter Talk. I am Johnny Feisty, the Hunting Hunter, with tips to make your hunter hunterific. This week's topic is travel tips. Welcome to Hunter Talk. The past few weeks I've been recuperating from some strange experiences while traveling, and I thought I'd share some tips this week that aren't just for hunters. Oh, hey everyone, it's Flappy, my wonderfully forgiving Dragon Hawk co-host. I'm not going to reply to that. Watch your mouth. Flappy is still a tiny bit upset that there was a small mix-up regarding an airline stablemaster and leash laws for creatures when traveling outside of Azeroth. As many of you may know, recently you don't have scars, just calm down. I actually have some advice to share. As many of you may know, recently I traveled to the mystical land of... You can stop interrupting any time now. I thought you were a tough guy. Quit complaining. Fine. On my recent adventures outside of Azeroth, I lost my luggage, including a special creature crate, and forgot to call about it until a week or so after I got home. And the crate had Flappy in it. And Old Man Doddles? Really? Mm-hmm. But where is... Oh. We should probably wrap things up. I have some arrangements to make. Thanks for listening to Hunter Talk. Big ups to Flappy at Johnny Feisty on Twitter.
Hunter Talk. J-O-H-N-N-Y-F-E-I-S-T-Y. Because he likes you.
Thrumka, and welcome to Ask Miss Mulgra, your source on matters of etiquette in Azeroth. Today's question is, what is the proper evening attire for the new cosmetic helms? Well, I have a question for you, question asker. Who in Azeroth has time to apply cosmetics, which requires a steady hand and a good mirror? Except perhaps a blood elf. I hope that any self-respecting member of the Horde, like myself, would spend more time hunting or trapping a lance, or even learning how to make spice bread, rather than worrying about how pretty they look when they swing their mace. Or I suppose you could spend your time wandering all over Pandaria looking for a matching purse for your new hat. Of course, it wouldn't be so objectionable if my next cloak matched my eyes. I am Miss Mulgra, and that is my advice. Okay, my gosh. Follow at Miss Mulgra on Twitter, or listen to previous episodes at missmulgra.com.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.